Mercy and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. There was a very young pastor who received his first call to an older parish. It was a country parish way out in the country, somewhere in the Midwest. And he enjoyed this little congregation, and they worshiped maybe 60 or 70 people on a Sunday. It was a quaint little church, white outside, white wood, beautiful little place with a cemetery right outside of his office window, and he really enjoyed it. And his first year there went pretty smoothly, and everything went according to plan, of course, according to his plan, and hopefully according to God's plan. And he was thinking to himself, boy, it was really nice to get through this first year without anything major happening. A week later, one of his members dies. One of his elders, a very prominent man, not only in the community, but in the congregation. And he was scared to death. Like most new pastors are, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? I've not done a funeral yet. These are pretty scary. And I think that in some part, pastors still get like that even after 15 years like me. Every funeral, I get that little bit of nervousness in my gut. What am I going to say? Is it going to be good enough? What can I tell them that they haven't heard? And so he would wrench his hands, and he stayed up all night preparing the message, and the funeral service came, and the funeral service went, and he doubted and doubted and doubted that he said enough of the gospel. He doubted that he ministered to the people enough. He was just so worried. And of course, that worry was cemented one day, about a week after the funeral service, as he's sitting in his office, and he looks out his window at the church cemetery, and there is the widow of the man who died, sitting next to his grave, crying. And he thought to himself, well, maybe she just needs that and I'll let it go. Day after day, at the same time, every morning, the widow would show up and she would cry at the side of her husband's grave. Day after day, she was there like clockwork. If it were raining, she had her umbrella. If it was snowing, she had her parka. She was there. And he would wrench his hands and his fists and not know what to do because it hurt him so bad. And he knew that she was hurting. And the reality is, death hurts, doesn't it? Death hurts us because, well, quite frankly, death is the last blow of Satan in our lives. The reality is, death comes to all of us, and it affects all of us because of the fact that we are sinners. We're sinners who fall short of the glory of God. We're sinners with that original sin that came from Adam and Eve in the garden, and when God came to Adam and Eve, he said, listen, you're going to die. You're not going to inherit this land for eternity. You're going to die. You will suffer death. You will suffer the consequences of a hard life. You will suffer the punishment that I'm placing upon you, and oh, by the way, Satan will bring death into your life. Death is something we go through, whether we're the person dying or we're the person and the loved one on the other side watching that person die. And it's painful on both sides. It's painful because we don't want to die. Do we want to die, really? You know, Loretta Lynn has a great song that I love. Who knows Loretta Lynn? Does anybody know Loretta Lynn? She has a great new song that's out that I really love, and it says, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. I love that song, and I just sing it over and over again. And how true is that? It's like we want to go to heaven. We look forward to that day, but none of us look forward to dying. And I think a lot of that has to do with we don't look forward to the way we will die. I mean, who wants to suffer with cancer? Who wants to get shot? Who wants to whatever may happen in our lives? We don't want to look at those things. And so therefore, we don't look forward to dying. And of course, for those of you that have experienced the death of a loved one, whether that's a tragic death or even just life itself of old age, you know the hardship that comes in that. You miss the person. It hurts. You long for them. You desire to be reconnected to them. And that's the reality. It really tries our faith. Death does try our faith, because our faith on one side says, oh yes, I believe in the eternal resurrection of the dead and the eternal life with Jesus. But on the other side, is it real? You know, I'll never forget, I was 2 years into my ministry when Jonah died. His balloon is up here somewhere. I carried his balloon in today. And, you know, it was really the first time in my life that I experienced a death that close, not to mention that it was my son, right? And so one day I was lying in bed, and I hadn't been sleeping well. It was after Jonah had died, and Steph had come home from the hospital, and they were doing an autopsy, and then a cremation, and all of these things. And I looked at Steph, and I said, Stephanie, what if all this isn't real? What if it's all fake? What if it isn't real and Jonah's not in heaven and I've just thrown away all this money and all this time of my life to nothing? Yeah, I doubted. I'll admit it. I'm a pastor and I doubted. I still doubt because I'm a sinner. And this is what my brilliant wife said to me. She said, what do you have to lose if it isn't true? But look what you have to gain if it is. It does try our faith. Especially when we lose someone who's been part of our lives and our life's journey for so long. It tries our faith. Our emotions can seem to be out of whack with what our heart believes, and then there's the whole soul issue. Our emotions are up and down when people die. Have you ever noticed that? One moment you're laughing at the good memories, and the next minute you're mad because they're dead or mad at what took them, and those emotions go on and on, and then there's the roller coaster ride of depression, and some people have to go on antidepressants, and that's okay. That's not a bad thing. If that's what you got to do, you got to do it to get through that time. And then the soul is there, and your soul is there, and your soul longs within you to see Jesus and to see your loved one. It can leave us in great despair, great confusion, and great pain. Death is not fun, whether we're the one going through it or it's the loved one next to us that has died. Death is not fun. And that poor lady, as the pastor looked out his window, saw that lady in that despair, experiencing the power of Satan in her life, knowing that her loved one was dead, and he would be so sick to his stomach day after day, praying, God, what can I do for her? Day after day, he prayed, Lord, help me to reach out to her. How can I bring the gospel message into her life? I'm new at this. I don't know what to do, Lord. Well, All Saints Day was approaching, and he was preparing for that second All Saints Day celebration in his congregation. November 1st, which is technically All Saints, came on a Wednesday, and it was a nice, brisk, sunny day that day where he was at, and he read a devotion. And of course, he looked up, and it was about 10 o'clock in the morning. And there was the lady kneeling by her husband's grave, and Mildred Marshall's floating through the congregation, making sure. That would be Mildred's balloon, wouldn't it? looked out there, and there she was. And he said, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to go get her. So he did. He got up. And he walked out to the cemetery, and he knelt down to the lady, and for a moment just held her hand. And then he said, come with me. He went inside and he whisked her into the sanctuary and he whisked her up to the altar, and he set up communion. And they had communion together. And this is what he said. I know you're suffering. And I know you have pain. But because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and lives, because we as Christians believe in this communion of saints, every time you take communion, you are communing next to your dead husband because he's alive in heaven with Jesus. Every time you worship, you are worshiping next to your husband who is alive in heaven. Every day of your life, Jesus holds your husband in his right hand and holds you in your left. You are never far apart because of Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior. The lady began to smile. Her whole attitude changed. Daily, she would come to the cemetery rejoicing, bringing flowers and celebrating, singing and whistling and smiling. And her whole attitude had changed. As others in the congregation lost their loved ones, she was there to walk by their side and to pray with them and to share with them the witness of what Jesus had done for them in their life and what he had done for her in her life. You see, this is what Easter's all about. And today is what we celebrate. We celebrate Jesus. We celebrate Easter because Jesus lives. He has opened the kingdom of heaven to us now, to those who are with him now, and to those who are with him that have gone through the grave. This is what Easter's about, that through Jesus Christ, the grave does not separate the people of God. The grave does not tear us apart. The grave and death no longer harms us. In fact, it does nothing to bring us apart, but it brings us together. Because Jesus is alive, those of us who are on this side of the grave worship with those on that side of the grave. Those of us who are on this side of the grave receive communion with those who are on that side of the grave. Those of us on this side of the grave walk with Jesus in one hand, as those on the other side of the grave walk in the other. And that's what it means to have a Jesus who is risen from the dead. That's what Easter's about. This is the promise that God gives to us and the miraculous gift of the resurrection, that because Jesus lives, we will live forever. That's why we celebrate All Saints. That's why we believe in the communion of saints, the blessed gift that God has given us through his Son, Jesus Christ. The blessed assurance that comes from confessing and believing in the communion of all saints assures us that in our Jesus, we are never far apart. In our Jesus, we are never far apart. You see, the hope of Easter, the cry of Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, alleluia. And the blessed fellowship of the saints below and above fill us with unending joy, a life that leads to a certain homecoming that is yet to come for you and for me. Brothers and sisters, we don't mourn like the rest of the world. Because Jesus is alive, we know that we have a hope and a joy that cannot be taken from us. We know as we see the loved ones around the room, we know as we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, we know when we go to our loved ones' graves, number one, they are not there, but they are alive in heaven with Jesus worshiping around the throne. Number two, when we worship here on Sunday, they are worshiping with us in heaven on Sunday. Number three, we receive the Lord's Supper, they receive it with us. And number four, as Jesus walks by our side, wiping away our tears, filling us with joy and hope, he is with our loved ones on the very same side, holding them, wiping away their tears, and giving them every good and perfect gift which belongs to them through his death and his resurrection. And don't forget the homecoming. The homecoming is for certain and for sure. We will see our loved ones again, not by our merit and not by anything that we have done, but by the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has burst forth from his tomb in conquering life to assure us that we all will live forever. So on this All Saints Day, and the Sunday after, and the Sunday after, and of course on Easter, may Christ fill you with an unending hope and joy that because he lives, the kingdom is alive. And the kingdom are those who are in heaven now, and those who are on earth who are in and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Christ is risen. Amen.